Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He's not saying have some Pollyanna attitude that you don't even look at the real problems, because let me tell you something, life has real problems.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor continues our study of the book of 1 Peter as we turn to chapter 3 for a message called Perk Tests, Good Soil and Luscious Fruit.
Farmers, many times, there are good years, there's good fruit, and the fields are producing. So look at 1 Peter chapter 3. He starts with the word finally. In other words, he's summing it all up. And all of this is tied together. He desires every believer to live and to be able to love the good life. And the good life comes from God working in our heart to give us that heart for Him. Matthew 13, verse 23, talks about the good heart that is really good ground. He uses this as a metaphor, as an analogy. God gives us the good heart through the life of Christ, and so He's now wanting us to cultivate our life, and He wants, in essence, to test our life. And in verse 8, I think He very simply says, let me give you these three admonitions. And in verse 8 through 12, here's the admonitions. Number one, he says, is the admonition, and the good nourishment for the soil of your heart is going to come from having a good attitude. And like the soil that you can test and say, this is what's a part of this soil, Peter's kind of like, all right, let's look at the soil of your heart. Let's look at the attitude of your heart. And he gives these five very quick bullet points. Notice what he says. He says, first of all, have unity. He says it this way, be of all one mind. Number two, he not only says that, but he says, secondly, there is a sympathetic or a mutual interest, or he says it this way, having compassion one of another. And then number three, he says, verse 8, love as brethren. That's the idea of friendship and affection. And then he says, look at your Bible, verse 8. He says, not only love as brethren, but he says, be kind-hearted. It's the word, be pitiful. And then also the last point he says is humility. He says, verse 8, be courteous. It's the idea of a phrase, humble in spirit or humble-minded. It's the internal attitude to the external appearance, meaning lowly or bowed in mind. It's being in a place to be gentlemanly. And humility is not just an attitude. It is works out itself in action. How's your attitude? Because I'm going to tell you, there are times our attitudes aren't the best. Because I'm going to tell you, with the attitude is there, then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And if it's a good attitude, then you're going to have a good response. What's the good response? Look at verse 9, if you would. This is exactly what Peter says. Having a good response. And you know what the response is? You could sum it up very simply. In forgiveness. This is how he says it. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. The very word evil is an inherent quality of badness. It's not just bad words or bad actions. It's bad. And he says the term insult is the word abusive railing against. There's a cursing. They're speaking evil of. And he says, Peter says, listen, you got good soil. You're not going to respond in kind. Just because they're after you, you go back at them. Oh, really? You got that one, buddy? I'm going to give it right back at you, big guy. Because you're giving forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness is what Peter's saying. I'm giving up my right to hurt you because you hurt me. That's forgiveness. Peter's saying here is a good attitude. Here's a good response. Let me give you a good source. Let me give you a good foundation. This is what he says in verses 10 through 12. And very simply, he says it this way. Here's the good foundation. And he quotes Psalms 34. This is where he says, you want to have life, you want to love life, you want to see good days? And he very simply says, here's how you're going to do it. Have a controlled tongue. And in addition to that, verse 11, let them eschew evil. Let them have purity and peace. Literally, the word eschew means to hate evil. It's the idea of turning away from it and then doing good, the excellence of quality, then seeking peace, the idea of the analogy of a hunter vigorously tracking down his prey. I'm going to hunt after anything that is peaceful because that's what's going to produce a good soil of good attitudes responding in good responses, and I'm going to pursue peace. And all of this was the source, foundation, was Psalms 34. Peter is quoting this. And who's he quoting? Who's writing this Psalms? Look at Psalms 34 in the front end of this. Do you have a little subscription in that? Some Bibles do, some don't. This particular Bible says a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Do you remember that story? Where David, who had been being chased by Saul, I mean, David was the guy that had the greatest triumph in killing Goliath, and it started the greatest trouble for him with his authority, Saul. And for like how many years? At 16, 17, he's trying to serve Saul, and eventually Saul gets so mad at him, and he starts chucking spears at him. And Saul now is trying to chase David through the wilderness, and eventually David says, I can't keep doing this. I give up. And so he goes to Abimelech, the same place where Goliath was in Gath, and this king catches David. David turns himself over, and David realizes, I'm in big trouble. This guy's going to kill me. And what does David do? He starts acting like he's crazy. He starts acting like the very guy that was chasing him and Saul who was crazy. And David feigns madness, and eventually Abimelech says, this guy's, he's nuts. You're out of here, man. You're gone. And that's exactly what happens. He goes back to the cave of Adullam, and he starts thinking about it. He realizes, you know what? I was in trouble. I was in affliction. Fact is, you can see it. Look what he says in verse 4. I was in fear. God, you delivered from my fear. David didn't deliver himself out of all these problems. God did. And he says, verse 8, see that the Lord is good. And David's writing this first half of this psalm is a song. It's a devotional. Then he gets to a little sermon in verse 12, and he says, man, I'm going to see and desire life, and I'm going to have love many days. I'm going to see good days. And that's why he says, hey, I got to keep my tongue. I was an idiot. I shouldn't have done that. And on top of the fact, I need to leave evil. I got to get away from that. That's not helping me. I want to start doing good. I want to start pursuing peace. And then he says, those eyes of the Lord are upon us. His ears are open to us. And his face actually isn't against us. His face is against those that are doing evil. And here is David, who is very simply saying that good day for that believer who's going to love life is not one in which he's pampered and he's sheltered like a little child on a scooter that life is good because there's no problems. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's one in which he experiences God's help and his blessing, his eulogy on David as he wants, as Peter wants it for us, because of life's problems and trials. And it's a day that when we have our own difficulties, our own trouble, our own fears, our own afflictions, as he says in verse 18, that God meets us where we are and puts us in a place to be able to be fruitful. Is the goal just having good soil, a good response from a good attitude and a good foundation? That's not the goal. Peter's saying to these believers in this church, listen, this is how you need to make a conscious choice because it is a conscious choice. He's not saying have some Pollyanna attitude that you don't even look at the real problems because let me tell you something, life has real problems. You have issues at work, you have issues with finances, you have kids that aren't quite doing what you want them to do, or grandkids, or you have problems that you had for a long time. You say, I just can't get over all of that. I'm just going to escape from life. God said, don't do that. I'll just cover it all and drown myself in alcohol or drugs, or drown myself in wrong relationships. And there are people that do that. And that's not the answer. Peter's saying, listen, you find your genuine strength in who Christ really is. You be rooted in him. This is what we need to do. Again, the soil is the heart that God says, don't be selfish, but be giving. Nourish it with what is right. The result of that can be very fruitful. It's not about the tree. It's not about a church. It's not even about the soil. John 15:8, this is the very last words that Jesus said to his disciples before him going into the passion and eventually the cross. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you be my disciples." Listen, you know what he's saying? You need to bear fruit out of your life. So that someday we stand before you and say, "God, look, here's these people that we gave the gospel to." That's considered fruit in the Bible. The Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, our attitudes, the Spirit-filled living. Being in a place, say, "God, for my own fruit of my lips and how I talk." This is the idea of Hebrews 13. Our own conduct, Colossians 1, the righteous living, that is good fruit. And we can't produce any of that on our own. You might for a while, but eventually you're going to realize, "I don't have enough to be able to keep living that way." And you come to the conclusion, "I can't keep doing this." And when you come to that conclusion, you realize, "God, this is about who you are in my life. It's your life through my living." This is what the good news is for bad situations. And I was so challenged because I have read the life of a guy named George, who actually his whole life was one in earlier years, was a huge mess. And at 16, George find himself now with 900 divinity students. By his own words, said there's probably less than 9 that had any heart for who God was. And by the age of 18, he found himself regularly lying, stealing, cheating, drinking, partying. This was his life. He met a guy at school, Beta. And then one Saturday night, Beta said, "Hey, I go over and visit this guy. He says he's a Christian." He said, "I'd advise you, but I don't think you really want to go." George says, "No, I want to go." He said, "As soon as I got there," he said, "I realized, you know what? This is what I was longing for in my heart." He said, "This guy, he welcomed us in. He says, 'Hey, my heart, my home is yours. You're welcome.'" He said, "Man, there's something that just drew to that." He said, "In that experience, that night on a Saturday night in the early 1800s, George said, there's something that as I saw this guy read a printed sermon, then he said he prayed. He got on his knees. He prayed. He said, I got so convicted. He said, I apologized." George said, "I apologized to this guy because of this. And listen to me." He said, "No, I'm just like you are." But he said, "Christ came in my life and he saved me." And he said, "Something happened that night." He said, "On that Monday," he said, "I began to realize, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go to this tavern. I don't want to go to this bar. I don't want to be with these folks. I'm trying to." And there's something inside, he realized, that later in his 90s, he looked back and said, "This was Christ that met me and pursued me and wanted to give me a good heart that I couldn't make myself." Said, "I ended up seeing so many changes that eventually," said, "I started dating this girl." And he said, "This girl was from this church that believed in good works. And I realized I can't work myself good enough. I can't do good enough things to please God." And he said, "I realized I had to give this girl up to realize I want who Christ is. I want reality." And he said, "From that point on, things start changing." He ended up going into missions and go minister to the Jews in Europe. And he ended up not doing that and going to London. And out of that, the name George Mueller became very famous for building orphanages, for giving his life back to others as he learned English from German. And he found himself being used in a great way. He's greatly known for a man of prayer. Unbelievable stories. And it wasn't because of George Mueller and being a good man. It was about God, who is a good God and a gracious God, said, "I will take you and use you if you just be willing to allow me to change your heart and you be willing to bear fruit." This is what it's about.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.